Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of the hour is Minister David Caldwell, Jr. David is a gentleman. He was with his lovely family when my wife, now with the Lord, she and I were sharing a meal out and about, and David and his beautiful family were positioned right across from us. We began to talk. We discovered a mutuality in Jesus Christ, our love for him and our service to him. David has joined us on this broadcast. It's been a while, and I'm so pleased to have him back. But first, we look to the Word of God. We have been searching through the book of Proverbs as to what this book has to say about righteousness. What does it mean to be a man or a woman of righteousness, even a child of righteousness? Well, we know that it emanates directly from the very character of God. God is holy, God is righteous and just, God is good, properly defined sense of the term. We also know that the promises of this beautiful and holy God speak forth in righteousness, and therefore every promise that is given to us from the Scripture, I love how the Apostle Paul puts it, every promise is not yes and no. Rather, every promise is yes in Jesus Christ to the glory and to the amen of God. Then there are what we would call, or what I would call, the predicates of righteousness. And now we speak of the various strands or lines of righteousness that play out in our lives. We are called of God to have minds that are righteous, hearts that are righteous. Our homes are to be places of righteousness. The light of righteousness is meant to go forth from us. There are any number of other predicates of righteousness. We have been accenting them over the recent weeks, but for today, we also may speak of the intentions of a righteous man or woman. It must be understood. I trust and pray that those of you who look to Christ or who are seeking after him understand that your Christianity must always be a life and an act of intentionality. The moment it ceases to be, there is something of our Christianity that begins to erode and to diminish, and a kind of spiritual stagnation will enter the fray of our lives. God forbid that should happen to you or to me. So first and foremost, please, by way of the intentions of the righteous man or woman, from Proverbs 13, verse 25, we read that the righteous eat to the satisfying of their souls, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Now, when we speak of what we are eating, we're not simply speaking, please, of our evening meal or our breakfast nook. Certainly, I think it is helpful to eat healthily. After all, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. But we are speaking to something I trust you know much deeper. Are we looking, if you will, to consume the things of God? I love how the author of the Psalms, I think this particular one was King David, and we read this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, we're using two senses there, aren't we? We're tasting him, and we're laying eyes upon him, the eyes of our hearts. I trust that by way of this message, and by way of the conversation that David and I share together, that you will be able also to consume from us the Word of God, that you will hear it. Okay, Jesus said of himself, and yes, our Catholic brethren and our Protestant brethren, we tend to accent perhaps differing dimensions, and I'm not looking for a theological debate here, But within the Protestant setting, we have often accented when we observe the Lord's table that it's a kind of memorial. We do this in remembrance of Christ. I believe it's much more than a memorial, but that has been the historic Protestant line. Our Catholic brethren, and perhaps they take it farther than I would go, I say that with respect, but they heed the words of Christ. Jesus says, "This is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, take and drink." There is something to be extracted at a very meaningful and deep level. There's a visceral rapport betwixt Jesus Christ and his people, and we are called upon by God to consume all that is of Christ, his thinking, the way he acted, his propriety, the depth and expanse of his love for the sinner. Praise God, we can be doing the same, but we must first and foremost consume the things of God. The righteous eat to the satisfying of their souls, but the belly of the wicked shall want. There's also another act of intentionality, and it relates to the things that we are endeavoring to amass. You know, if you turn on cable news, there are several cable stations that are devoted to the amassing of wealth. They're business stations, and I take nothing away from them. And I do believe, I have very dear friends in the investment business, and they argue that the amassing of wealth can be constructively applied to godly end. I'm taking nothing away from that. But the kind of amassing of which the proverbist is speaking, I think, is something different. And if we are amassing wealth, it will play out within this context. From Proverbs 15, verse 6, "In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble." Friends, what are the kinds of things that we would define or otherwise describe as wealth or as treasure? I learned from a very early age, when I was in desperate need of such commodities, I discovered that wisdom was treasure. And I cried aloud to the Lord for wisdom, and the Lord gave it to me. That wisdom became my treasure. It enabled me to invest, if you will, in the wisdom of God so that I could find my way out of my psychological conundrums and malaise. And I was taken into this beautiful world of spiritual life and of truth and of spiritual beauty. I praise God for the wealth of wisdom. There is the wealth also of maturity. We are living in a day and age in which many Christians are being fostered in a realm of spiritual immaturity. We are living in a day and age of banality and anal modes of entertainment. And there's not a deepening as we grow older. There's not a deepening of heart and mind as there should be. But to be made fully mature in Jesus Christ, this is the ultimate goal and aspiration of the Christian, the ultimate goal and even final frontier, if you will, of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, perhaps reaching as far down deep, not perhaps definitively, reaching down as deep as our instincts. So maturity now becomes a mode of wealth for the believer, spiritual maturity. I think even fruitfulness, which speaks first and foremost to the development of our characters. The Holy Spirit, we read of him that there are nine pieces or portions of fruit, all acting as an aggregate, that it is the intent and operative work of the Spirit that they infuse our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then there is a kind of addendum, an interpretive addendum at the end of that litany that Paul gives us. Having read through the litany of the nine pieces or portions of fruit, he then adds, "Against such things there is no law. I praise God for that. How do you legislate against, or why would you wish to legislate against joy or faithfulness unless you have unfaithful intention? But along with the character attributes, they now become, if you will, the works and deeds of our lives. And does not the Apostle Paul tell us in Ephesians chapter 2, the 10th verse, one of the foundational verses of Scripture for me? I remember reading it for the first time 48 years ago. It says that you and I are God's workmanship. A better translation, though I'm no Greek scholar, might very well be, you are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. I personally would argue that we need to begin teaching our children the doing of good deeds and not simply learning the things that intrigue them or entice them. I think rather than the toys that can be purchased in toy stores, although I'm all for it, but the doing of good deeds, the sowing in their hearts and minds of the desire to do good things on behalf of those around them, always to the glory of God. Praise God for His Word. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return with Brother David Caldwell in just a moment. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My pleasure now and consummate privilege of being joined by a lovely guy, Brother David Caldwell, or Minister David Caldwell Jr. I've known this gentleman for a number of years, and from time to time we come together across the airwaves. David, welcome back.
Oh, pleasure to be there. Thank you for having me.
It is a joy, David. I remember well the day that my lovely wife, now with the Lord, she and I, we were in Pizzeria Uno up over in Plymouth Meeting, and this lovely family came in and sat right across from us, and I discerned the presence of Christ in you all. And we began to speak, and sure enough, the presence of Christ was binding us. And it was a very charming moment, and I remember it well. I beg of you to convey my warmest regards to your lovely wife and children.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we remember it too. It was a pleasant meeting, and we had some good food that day as well. So we were tasting and seeing.
We did we not? But the fine meal was for us, the consuming of the things of God now for us and our audience. Praise the Lord. I love it. David, you did a number of years ago share your story of faith, but it was several years ago, and there is a wider and a even differing audience today. So I want them to be blessed by your story afresh.
Absolutely. I always, in my story of faith, is one that is not like a grenade going off and, you know, a miraculous miracle of the water to wine. But I will certainly say that I'm a pastor's kid. I'm a preacher's kid. And the PKs usually are targeted, as you may know. Being in church is actually, in my opinion, it seems to be a little bit like there's a target on your back when you're a child. So you're living, you know, trying to do the right things. But around, I don't even remember when the date, you know, some people have the date, time, hour. I just knew that I walked with the Lord and around 6 years old, I remember coming forward. And I always say this, I play chess, you know, occasionally. And just occasionally. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a professor of chess, but I can win.
But it's impressive.
I have been playing since I was 9 years old, so I can beat an average person, but if someone that's playing every day, I don't think I will beat them. But I do recognize the highlight of chess is, you understand chess, that in the first, I would say, 4 or 5 moves, if both players are pretty much equal in skill, the game is already over. And so your first 4 to 5 moves are imperative. And I felt like God had a blessing on my life. In my first, I would say, 5 or 6 years, I had already started thinking about God and having a desire. As I got older,
I would say around 18, I got more serious. And you play around in church, and I'm a musician as well. And my whole family sings, and everybody goes to church in my family. But I didn't seem, and just being honest, it didn't seem like it was genuine for everybody. I think it was just something we did. I always call it, you know, you don't want to be inoculated from the word, if you will. You don't want to become a person that just, you know, is immune to scripture. You know, you want to still even hear Psalm 1. And you can't teach Psalm 1 or any scripture to me without it piercing me again through and through. And something different will be seen. And around 18, 17, 18 years old, I don't know how to explain it except that I just had a hunger for something more than just going to church. I wanted to be filled. I wanted to have more than just saying, I go to church, and I come home, and I go to church. And I mean, long story short, I really saw my life, and I pray whoever hears this, if they're trying to figure out which way to go, it started with prayer. And I would just say these in prayer every day. My dad had a terrible fall in one of his jobs, and yet he was my job avenue. So it was like, what am I supposed to do? And I started praying, and I just wanted God. I honestly wasn't even praying for a job. I felt like the issue that I had was that I didn't want to be fake. I didn't want to have a phony faith. I wanted to be genuine. So long story short, I began to get a relationship. And in less than, I would say, 2 years, I was married, had a great job. I mean, and I, you know, this is not a sales tactic because it doesn't always end that way, but it was a very divine appointment, the way things begin to happen, because I saw prayer was working, and I was not even praying for certain things. I just wanted to be close to God, and yet God began to give me the things. So it reminds me of the scripture in Matthew 6:33, which is, seek ye first the kingdom. And that's what I did. I didn't know. And I've always loved the word of God. Let me make sure I make that clear. I've always loved God's word. I've been teaching Bible studies since I was about 12. But even when you're teaching it, that doesn't mean that you're living it. And I felt like I didn't get the zeal and the desire didn't get as strong in me until around 18. And then I was married at 19. And I've been married since.
Well, praise God. You know, someone, a mutual friend of ours, Pastor Chris Davis, was just sharing with me earlier today that even some of his seminary professors, he was taking nothing away from the value of what he learned or from their intentionality of instruction. But he said it was obvious to him that not all of them had that depth of love for Christ as so much as they did a depth of love for their theological disciplines. I've encountered that myself, you know. And I do think that ministry is one of those jobs. It's either going to be a piece of cake because you're really not putting your heart into it, or it's the toughest job in the world because you are, and you value the effect upon the lives of your congregants. You value the effect of your labor upon them. I discern that in you with your musical ministry, your teaching ministry. You are engaged in endeavoring to bring people into a closer, approximate and encounter with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I don't know too many people that have my desire. And I don't say that arrogantly, but I mean, I've run into people that play instruments at church, and it's just a job. And it's like, you know, I don't want it to be just a job. I want it to be, I've actually left churches, you know, and it's a job where we're compensated. But if I start noticing that this is wrong spiritually, this in fact is false or wrong this doctrine, I'll question, I'll ask questions. And I think that that's, for me, I'm also a father of two teenagers. My son is 17, my daughter is 16. And I've been...
Wait a minute. They weren't 17 and 16 when I met them.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah, also, years back, my son is 17. He's driving. He's on his way to college.
Oh, wow.
He's in 12th grade. My daughter, 16. I mean, it's crazy to watch children grow up that fast. And I know when you meet this, it's a difference. And I say that with the pride of the Holy Spirit, if you will. I say that with... knowing that it was only by the grace of God, and it was only by his word that is governed, that is kept. We were doing Bible study. We do a live on Fridays. It's called Caldwell Family Music on Facebook. We go live at 8:30 on Fridays, our family. So that's how the studio I'm in now, we usually go live. And we do a few worship songs that I'll teach for about a half an hour. It's kind of like an hour power kind of deal. And one of the things that I wanted people to see was a family. You know, so when you say that, it bothers me to have the call of God, but don't have the integrity. And you start talking about righteousness, which is like a curse word for a lot of pastors today. When you use words like righteousness and truth, I felt like, man, that's actually what we taught on how God feels about lying. Yes, we just went to, and we taught on truth and what truth is. And you cannot quantify truth in a bottle. Yeah. It is not part of the five senses. It is part of the code that God put in us to know right from wrong. And if you try to define it outside of God's kingdom, you can't.
And
you can't define it outside of it.
And David, I would add that oftentimes the lack of honesty can be more of a self-deception than an endeavor to deceive other people. That's something where Christians, we need to bring our lives before that cross and before the Spirit of God at the deepest level. But Brad Lacey and Minister David Caldwell Jr., we will return for another round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Minister David Caldwell Jr., returning for another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. David, tell us about what you do on behalf, if you will, of the kingdom of God. I know you have your hands in a number of things. You've alluded to some things off the mic. Let's explore them over the airwaves.
Yes, sir. So I'm presently the minister of music at Zion Baptist Church of Ambler, and I'm also the music director at True Life Fellowship Church, which is Pastor Pevak and Pastor Flores is an Ambler. So you know, those are the two ministries. I also am a music producer, songwriter, arranger, and my family, actually, we're the Caldwell family singers, if you will. So we've recorded and we've done certain things that's out there. And, you know, just also, as I said earlier, we have our Caldwell family, which is, you know, this was something that we started in the pandemic. We started this during COVID because people couldn't get to church. And I had a good setup and I understood, you know, how to get the sound better, you know, so I try to, you know, start something fast, something, you know, that people can like chop. They just, if they can't get to church, they can just click on something that they can get the word and they can get music and they can get the songs of God. And it went from that to over 2,000 plus followers. And we weren't really consistent. We just started back up. And I was saying to God, I said, this is a serious thing because a lot of people that don't come to church are on here. And they may not ever step foot in the church door first. And I felt like, okay, we need to do this as well as do what we do in the church. So I'm trying to be in the church, you know, and doing the ministry because obviously that's worship is every Sunday and it's much needed. But I also feel like the church, and in my opinion, because of technology, we now have an avenue to go into all the edges of highways. We don't even have to get out into the physical streets anymore sometimes. We can literally take it right from the airwaves. And so that's what we've been working on, establishing relationships with different people all over the world.
You know, I would argue, I'm in a similar vein, I would argue that the indispensable foundation is to be physically within a fellowship of believers. But with that in existence, with that as one's foundation, we are called to take this word beyond the walls of our fellowship, aren't we? To go out into the highways and byways. My contribution by way of technology is through this broadcast. I also find with my work as president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, I do a lot of one-on-ones out and about. And I chat with people and I share, I put scripture in their hands. I have opportunity to pray with them. I think we have to use all means necessary at our disposal.
Absolutely.
To put forth and to reach people for Christ. Tell me first, I want to get into your online work, but first tell me about your work in the church. Then we'll move to your work online.
So, yeah, I mean, I always say it's a typical minister music position, but I started, I had a long journey and started by playing. I'm an organist and I play piano and I teach the choir as well. And as you know, in ministry, that is one of the most important jobs is to make sure that we make the ground ready for the word. And so we're trying to bring people to worshiping God. And I agree with you. I like to reel them into church so they can really get that insight. We actually say that at church on Sundays. It's nice that we have live stream, but we would rather you be in person so we can lay hands and can. And in my opinion, this has always been the, even when TBN was known and infamous, I felt like that's secondary. I felt like that's nice, but you really want to be where the worship is. And I think that what we do, and what I do, and my family, I always say, because they're with me in ministry. My daughter's a drummer. My son sings. He's also a storing guy. And my wife leads praise and worship as well. And then the choirs that we oversee. We try to make sure that we pick songs that reflect the heart of God to the congregation so they can experience this tangible, manifested presence. There's nothing like being in a congregation and then, you know, we were trying to ascend and then we finally do it. And I stress that we read the word of God and we see where the priest couldn't stay in the ministry. You see where the child filled the temple and you see how there is different times in scripture where there's an anointing to heal, an anointing to prophesy, an anointing to break yokes. And we don't often transcend that because sometimes I think our goal is to do something other than what God's word says. Unfortunately, I've been in churches where we'll have special days and it'll interrupt worship, if you will. And I think that if we understood it from the scripture, that it's so important that God be the focus of that day. So his goodness, his wisdom, and all of the things that he is, and his very presence, which is less on us. That's, you know, Sundays or whatever day of the worship is the day that you usually restock, refuel, and come together and have the fellowship, the koinonia, and the breaking of the bread. And I'm also a minister, so I did get licensed at Zion 4 years ago, but I've been preaching way longer than that. As I said, I've been doing Sunday school. But when you go to different denominations, they kind of make you go all the way through it again just to make sure you know what you know. But so I teach the word as well. And with those two ministries, you can imagine that it can become very, very impactful.
You'd be intrigued. And I frequent as often as I can Times Square Church up in Manhattan. It's right off of Broadway in the heart of the musical venue area. And I've been frequenting it for a number of years. And I was there one Sunday, and they have wonderful worship, and it's pure, holy worship. And there was one lady there, a tall, slender African-American gal, beautiful voice, but it was far more than simply the beauty of her voice. She was singing worshipfully Psalm 27, verse 4. Well, Psalm 27. But when she hit verse 4, one thing I ask of God, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of God. David, she took that verse. I mean, it went up into the stratosphere. And I tell you, she held it there in the heavenlies. And I have to be honest with you. I don't know that a musical mode of the service ever took me as close to God as what that lady did. Her heart was there. And I know yours is as well. And now with what you're doing online, I would put it this way. What you're doing online is a splendid example of one of the manifold of ministry that the church can be pursuing. We minister to one another by way of encouragement and instruction, but we minister to those beyond the walls by way of witness. And you're doing something that I think can bring both together. So tell us about your online work.
Yes, sir. So as I said before, we started during COVID, and then we took a little break, and then we came back in the last, I would say, month or two. It's been over 2 months, I think, now. We've done at least 8 sessions, because it's each week. And each week, I feel like God gives me something to say to someone in particular. And you can feel it because it leads you to grocery, right? So we're talking and we're ministering, and then I'll feel it. And I can't see them. I mean, you can see their comments, but I can't always, you can't hear them. But I can literally, it's amazing because our spirits are still connecting to the people through the media, social media. And we live on Facebook. And through that live, we've encountered so many people that are not saved, so many people that just had to, because you start off with worship, and I believe that it makes people come in. You know, they weren't going to click it, but they see children singing or young teenagers. They got, I mean, my son's about 5'11", 6 feet now, so they're not as small. I know. If you see them, you'll be like, wow. And I take the privilege. This is the privilege. This is what I wanted to if nothing else came off of the way. It's called Caldwell Family. And the reason why that's so important to me is the church is the institution that was put together to deal with the issue, right, of sin, because you now need preachers, pastors, evangelists, but family was the organization that God put together heart flows. And when people mix that up, and there's nothing wrong with church, there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is, I feel like, at least for me, being a PK, being a preacher's kid, I sometimes mix them up. And we'll put church first, we'll put ministry first, and then our families are going to hell, or our children are not saved, or people are not delivered in our own family, and we don't even notice that they're suffering with something. And so I really wanted to just push that narrative again, that, you know, the order of God, and seeing a husband with a wife and his children. And that's the online visual that we want. If you want to call it in the entrepreneur world, you'll call it branding, right? A good name is rather to be chosen than choice silver or love and favor than gold, right? You don't want to have just the abilities. And you play and sing it, and God has definitely blessed my family with talent. But the thing that we're stressing, and I wanted to even stress today, if nothing else, is to always honor God with your family. Don't take a job that's going to hurt your family. There's no amount of money that's going to increase my love, you know, or increase things like that.
Well, I might add that in this day and age in which the family is under massive malevolent assault, what you're doing is expressive of the glory and beauty of God's kingdom. Brad Lacy and Minister David Caldwell Jr. We return for a final round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacy and Minister David Caldwell Jr. returning with one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. David, along with your online ministry with Facebook and family worship, I want to explore this on another show or broadcast, but you also now have a rather, I think, helpful online ministry helping people to learn piano. Tell us about this.
So, yes, sir. I was there about a month and a half ago. Our website is playchurchpiano.org. That is, again, is playchurchpiano.org, and it'll show you everything that we offer. But the main goal is that we know that the church has a unique sound. It has a very unique sound. And I've learned skills that, you know, reading music and learning scales and being able to play. But one thing that I started noticing is that a lot of people would take their kids to different schools, and these are great schools, so I won't call any names because they're particularly teaching the fundamentals, you know, scales, how to read music, how to play chords, and so forth. But then it would get to how to worship music, or how to flow in a service, and how to follow the Holy Spirit, and how to minister, so to speak. And what I started noticing is that people were like almost dead in their playing. It was just like the letter killed, but the spirit gives life. And so I said, well, what would happen if they actually had an avenue where they can take the course from someone like myself, who's been in ministry for 20 plus years as a minister of music and in a full-time position as a minister of music. So I'm very diverse in worship styles, denominations. I also understand the difference. And one of the reasons why I felt the need to do this was because I teach private lessons here and there. And one of my students, mothers, because I honestly didn't like, you knew I was in the technology field for a while. I really didn't want to do too much. But she begged me and she said, he does get lessons, but he can't play in church. That's amazing to me. That you can go to a music school and they'll have jazz on there, they'll have classical on there, they'll have pop on there, they'll have rock, but they won't have gospel. They won't have Christian contemporary music. There's no sanctions for the kingdom. And I said, that's not going to fly for me. And the next thing is that also spirits are transferred through time and through authority. And so when you have someone over your child and they're not a believer, sometimes things get on that child that is not something that you wanted to transfer. This is the way it works with Elijah, all right? And I think that that's what it is even with music. If that's your teacher, you're open. You're open right away. You're now taught by the teacher. You're taught what good music is, what bad music is, what righteousness is, and unrighteousness, some bad habits. And so we wanted to make a safe space for believers to come. It's an online course, so it's on demand. You don't have to, as you would say, show up anywhere. Sometimes people get into the situation where, especially at COVID, where they don't want to be physically around people, or they don't learn as good. They learn better about themselves. The course goes from beginner to advanced, and it has all, I mean, hymns, Christian contemporary music. I specialize for the kingdom. As a matter of fact, I had a person tell me, a person that wanted me to broaden the business, and they were like, you can make this about just playing the piano. I said, no. I don't want to do that. I want it for the kingdom of God.
You know, you mentioned the I'll use the word malay, people who are learning but couldn't necessarily play in public. And insofar as the public schools, the gospel has no place, sadly. I often think of the great classical music conductor, Charles Dutoit. He was at one time affiliated with Philadelphia. He was up in Montreal for many years, a Frenchman. And he was asked about the up-and-coming students within the world of classical music. And he made a comment that resonates with what you just said, at least in part. He said he thought that these young people were wonderful. Technically and mechanically, they were better than anyone he had ever seen before. But he said there was one problem. He says, for all of the prestige of their schools, for all of their technical proficiency, they weren't feeling the music. And you know, you're obviously teaching your students more than simply the technique. You're teaching them the substance and spirit of the worship. And I praise God to hear this. It is a consummate joy. What is the name of this online course? How can one access it?
Yes, it's that name again is playchurchpiano.org. You just type it in your web browser, and once you go on there, you'll see every avenue in which you can take a look. And so it starts with a 3-day free trial. It's fairly inexpensive. It's a subscription, so you try it out. You don't have to be on it forever, and you can learn it. A lot of times, the other thing about it is the pricing for online and personal lessons are highly expensive right now. And so a lot of young people that have the desire to learn to play, they don't get the chance sometimes. Or if a mother or parents should say have children that are multiple children, you know, let's say it's four boys or, you know, four children, and they all want to play the piano. Well, that's four lessons, but you don't have to worry about that with this. It's one subscription price. It's playchurchpiano.org. And as soon as you go on there, you can access it's exclusive content, and all of it's free and open to the public once you are subscribed. So there's no, you know, one part and then you got to pay for the next part and nothing like that. Once you pay one subscription price, it's a monthly subscription, but once you pay, you have full access to our community we have, which is to me is the best thing ever. We have Play Church Community, which allows musicians that are just starting or people that are experienced to talk to one another and talk about what stresses they may have or what songs they need to be learning. And it brings people to learn together. I think we go further together.
Tell me, David, with your investment in musical ministry, and I want the audience to understand, I have no doubt you'll agree with me, that worship incorporates music, but is much more than simply music.
Oh, yes,
so you're invested in the full range of worship, including music ministry. What are some of the inspirations, if you will? Have you drawn from classical or jazz? Do you draw from blues or reggae? What, just in about a 1 minute, what are some of your sources, if you will.
So I'm very careful what I do put in my spirit, but I will say that jazz, classical, and mainly gospel have been the main three that I've heard. I'm very, very cognizant of what I put in. The Bible says be careful. And so, but that is the key. Worship, as you said earlier, has an impact on the soul beyond music, because worship is the surrendering. And music helps us do that. Matter of fact, you know, some of the Hebrew words for worship and for praise, you know, like todah, and lift your hands and extending your hands in total surrender. A lot of times we do this as children. A child will lift their hands to their mother or father. It's a term of surrender and independence. And so a lot of worship is showing God that he's king.
Yes.
This goes right back to him being the king.
Yes, indeed. And David, I'm very impressed with something, and I very much doubt the borough of Ambler fully understands what they have. With you and your family invested together in music, Ambler has its own version of the Gaither family, does it not? The Caldwell family. It's a joy to hear. You will come back, I trust.
Yes, sir. It was a pleasure.
We will have you back. Minister David Caldwell Jr., and Brad Lacey with the great message. We wish you God's blessing in every way. Thank you.